Emperor Tales of the Frozen South by C.W.B. and read by Ghost of Nuggets Past. Chapter 21. Hara. Transgression. John and Sherlock follow Moringa down the sloping path from their ice cave. John is furious, aggressively huffing and muttering under his breath. Sherlock, one step behind him in their single-file line, can make out enough of his words. Spying, non-business, nerve, treasure, for the love of, to get the general gist. Sherlock listens to John with one ear, but focuses most of his energy on analyzing the potential outcomes of Moringa's surprise visit and categorizing their most effective responses. He watches the set of her shoulders as she plods along in front of them, the haughty tilt of her head, the arrogant way she holds her tail out behind her. This pang, Sherlock thinks to himself, walks like a bird who has never slipped and felt the hard ice meet her behind. Or, he reconsiders, a bird who wants everyone to believe exactly that about her. Halfway down the berg, Sherlock has narrowed down Moringa's motives to three possibilities, the senior pang's responses to two, and John and Sherlock's best strategies to one. He lets his mind rest and his body take over, one foot in front of the other, the ice cold and wet under the rough pads of his feet. He lets the wind buffer and sway him, and the taste of the sea air rest on his tongue. He watches John, head down, grumbling into his chest, and tries to send him reassuring thoughts. These thoughts consist of telepathic messages such as, "She's an idiot, Johnling," and "You have a very cute bum." He does not detect any decrease in John's rate of sputtering. He keeps trying. The junior and senior pangs have just finished swimming and are ambling inland from the shore when Moringa and her charges reach the base of the iceberg. She stands, imperious in spirit and body language, and waits for the group to cross the flat plain and join them. The night is as dark as it's going to get, which is not very dark at all, and the icy mountain behind them stands in stark relief against the violet and salmon-colored sky. Sherlock taps John on the back, and when John looks at him, his face still pinched in a scowl, Sherlock shrugs his head in the direction of the dusk-smeared sunset and smiles. John's precious face softens a bit, and his eyes lose some of their murderous glare. He shuffles closer to Sherlock and aligns their wings. It's the most minimal of contact, but it makes Sherlock feel as if he's united with the entire universe. The group is almost upon them now, and Sherlock can see that Mycroft has seen, observed, and dissected everything there is to know. He looks neither dismissive nor despairing. Mostly he looks annoyed. Sherlock finds this acceptable. Stamfjord and Lestra are laughing and roughhousing, trying to knock each other over. Janine, Irina, and Molly are chatting amongst themselves and have not noticed the party of three standing in their path. Erebus, however, has not only noticed them, but has taken on the countenance of a perturbed pang who has had entirely enough of someone else's nonsense. John's left wing is spasming against Sherlock's right. "Elders!" Moringa calls out as if she's addressing the entire colony. "We have a hara on our wings." "Oh, hardly," Sherlock thinks. "Since when is it a crime to neck a little bit?" Next to him, John makes a noise between a choke and a hiss.
"Hiahaukitau,"
Erebus answers, immediately taking charge of the situation. "My problem, Erebus, is that these two pangs were halfway up the iceberg, hidden away in his secret lair, and they were, I saw them with my own two eyes." The other juveniles fall about, snickering and clasping their wings over their bills. Pavo and Vela look thoroughly confused, and Mycroft rolls his eyes so hard, Sherlock wonders if they might not get stuck staring backwards at his brain. Erebus pulls himself up to his full height, rises up on his toes, and shouts, "They are 8 months old, Moringa.
They are not capable of Onione, nor do they have the anatomical maturity to do that of which you accuse them.
Oh, please, you know what I mean, Erebus. You of all pangs, you know what I mean.
You said they were mating, Moringa.
Moringa ruffles her feathers and trills in dismissal.
Copulation, making love, you know what I mean. They were all over each other. They were
enough.
Everyone turns and looks at Mycroft now. Sherlock must admit he's rather intimidating when he wants to be, and the roar he just let out was enough to startle an elephant seal.
These are not harmless accusations to be thrown to the winds for all to hear and entertain. If you have any formal complaint against an emperor of this colony, you will follow the proper procedures for lodging it, and the council will hear you. Until then, I would warn against further public defamation of these two pangs of fine name and good standing. Have I made myself clear?
Moringa takes the verbal slap down in her stride and does not back down.
This is absurd. Am I not also an emperor of fine name and good standing? I saw what I saw, and my word alone as a member of the senior council should be the totality of any procedure required.
Please, Moringa, Pavel says, stepping forward. Do take care with your words. Let's move out of the wind and to the council grounds, where we can discuss this properly.
Fine. I do hope that what I have to say will be met with less resistance.
And here she glares at Erebus.
And that the nature of this horror will be taken seriously.
She turns to make her way toward the council grounds, effectively ending the conversation. There's a flutter of activity from the younger pangs now, all of whom have been standing in a huddle, bills agape. Lestra pushes forward from between Stamford and Molly and squeaks something unintelligible, then clears his throat and starts again.
Excuse me?
Moringa stops, but does not turn around. All eyes but hers are on Lestra, who looks like he might change his mind and disappear back into the huddle at any moment.
Lestra? Mycroft's look of annoyance has given away to amusement.
Have you something to say?
I do, and I'd rather say it now, sir, before I forget. See, the thing is, as apprentice to the peacekeeper, albeit one who has only just recently rejoined her native colony, I have already learned quite a bit about dispute resolution, tribal law, and the like.
Moringa turns so slowly, Sherlock isn't sure she's actually moving. She stops when she is in profile, then twists her neck so she can peer, disbelieving, at her pupil. Sherlock wills Lestra to keep going before he's intimidated into silence.
She's an idiot. You can do this. Unless you're about to further indict us, then you shall probably stop now.
Have you now, young sir? Erebus asks. I am sure we are all most interested in what you have to say. This is, after all, one of the reasons we've recreated the junior council, is it not?
He has asked this question to no one in particular, but almost everyone begins to nod. Almost everyone.
Right. Well, then, I would just like to point out that each and every paying is entitled to due process, and that due process is based on three important pillars of respect. First, each and every paying, regardless of age, ancestry, pairing status, or council affiliation, is entitled to a private airing of any grievance against them, so that the allegations brought forward cannot bias the colony before the council can form an opinion and announce action. Second, the council is required to hear from all pangs involved, including secondary witnesses, regarding said allegations. An accused pang can choose to waive his or her right to share the version of events, but in response, the council has a right to solicit impressions on behalf of the accused. Third, there are only two crimes that can result in a guilty verdict, as every single other horror is meant to be dealt with in a productive rather than punitive manner, with consequences including, but not limited to, mediation sessions for the parties involved, private counselling, skill retraining, and probationary periods.
Lestrade gains confidence as he speaks, and the words roll off his tongue, fast and furious. He leaves no room for interruption.
The two crimes for which a Payne can be found guilty are murder and egg abandonment, and the consequences of these crimes are determined on a case-by-case basis.
Moringa's feathers are standing erect, almost perpendicular to her body, and Sherlock imagines he can feel the waves of indignant heat rolling off of her. Next to him, John's wing has stopped its incessant tensing and is lying relaxed against his own.
I am new to this, as you know, and I may be wrong, but it seems to me that we are in danger of violating the first tenet of due process. Should that happen, Lestrade continues, settling back on his heels and crossing his wings as if preparing to stay for a while,
the Council will need to initiate an entirely separate investigation into the matter of the violation.
Well done, Lestrade. If I might interrupt you for just one moment.
Erebus rocks back and forth, his wings clasped behind his back.
And well done to you too, Moringa. I cannot find the words to express how extraordinarily pleased I am with your diligent efforts toward training your apprentice. Truly his grasp of Emperor Law, after only a few moons, is to be commended.
Lestrade, you have provided us with an excellent summation of the precautions that must be taken when one emperor brings a charge against another. However, I believe this would be the right time to end our group conversation. The senior counselor will pick this up again at the council grounds when you young ones are asleep, and we can talk about the next steps.
Let's get on with this, shall we?
Moringa resumes walking away from the group, and slowly, one by one, the others follow. Sherlock and John take up next to their friends and fall into step behind the elders.
What was that all about?
Molly whispers.
Nothing really. Sherlock and I were cuddling, that's all. I mean, for Poseidon's sake, that's what penguins do.
Lestrade, do you think she has a chance of getting them in trouble?
Stamford looks genuinely concerned, with his brow drawn and head inclined conspiratorially toward the others.
Nah, there's more stuff I learned that I didn't get to say. The council needs a quorum to proceed, for example.
That means, he says, seeing some confused expressions,
that there must be a previously agreed upon majority of council members in place before any vote can be taken. Our quorum is set at 5 out of 7 council pings.
But we have that, Janine says. We have 6.
Yes, Sherlock pipes up now. But I imagine, and Lestrade, please correct me if I'm wrong, that Moringa will be recused from the proceedings because she's the one bringing whatever ridiculous allegation she thinks she has against us. She won't get a vote. She can only present her case.
Lestrade nods in agreement.
Yes, that's correct. And honestly, I can't imagine the others would take any of this seriously.
But that still leaves 5, Janine says.
Wait, though. Irina asks, can Mycroft participate, since he's related to Sherlock and might be considered biased?
He's usually biased against me.
No, she's right, though. No one would know for sure, should he vote to dismiss the allegations, if he did it for the right reasons.
John has been quiet until now, but sees the way the numbers are aligning and gains confidence.
So that would leave Pavo, Vela, Erebus, and Cetus.
That's not a quorum.
So what then? We wait until after the migration back to Podeba to see if there'll be consequences for cuddling?
Molly starts giggling, and Irina joins her.
We'll have to ban the crèche and the incubation huddles, and maybe the brooding pouches, too.
They've fallen further behind the elders as they've talked, but are almost at the council grounds and shush each other in a hurry to catch up. Lestrade tugs on Sherlock's wing before they arrive, and the two hang back for a moment.
Hey, listen, I don't know what really happened, and I'm not asking for any details, but the two of you may want to chill it down for a bit for the foreseeable future.
Sherlock considers asking how much more chill they can get, given their habitat, but he suspects that he should meet Lestrade's seriousness with some of his own.
We aren't doing anything wrong, are we? What are we doing wrong?
Lestra wriggles his shoulders and looks away toward the group.
It's just, you guys take the regular pen cuddling to all new levels. It's like you can't keep your wings off each other sometimes, and it's fine. It's not like you're doing anything wrong, but if Moringa's willing to go so far as to say you and John were, well, you know, then maybe don't give her so much to work with.
Sherlock considers. On one wing, it doesn't matter if he and John are innocent, not if Moringa has made up her mind to cause trouble for them. On the other wing, no way is he going to cease plastering himself up against John whenever possible, especially since it isn't a hara.
Thank you, Lestra. I see what you're saying. I'll take it under advisement with John.
Lestra nods.
Yeah, okay. Just one more thing. If I can help you guys in any way with the Peng Law or colony rules, let me know. John's a good friend, and so I guess, by extension, you know.
John thinks Lestra may be even more inept at this type of thing than he is.
I understand. And, yes, you too. Me too, I mean.
The two Pengs clear their throats and randomly groom some feathers that do not need to be groomed, then join the rest of the group. Notes. Maori translations. Hara. Noun. Sin. Foul. Crime. Offense. Transgression. Wrongdoing. Gaff. Infringement. Fault. Problem.
Hey, Ahahokitao.
What are you on about? What's your problem?
Oni oni.
Verb. To move, wriggle, have sexual intercourse, copulate, make love.